Christmas. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's a time of family and presents, a break from school, and a time to rest. It's a season of celebration with decorations and lights. Christmas movies are trending on all the platforms. Christmas specials show up at venues and Christmas music. It takes over all the playlists. And then there's always the tree. As a kid, my favorite part of Christmas was always getting and decorating the tree. For us, it was always a real Christmas tree. So if you're one of those fake Christmas tree people, you can hold on to your judgment because real Christmas trees are just better. Now, whether you're a fake tree or a real tree person, after you get your tree, you begin the process of stringing the lights and decorating it with all the ornaments. And my sister and I would always argue over who got to hang these crystal bells that we had on the tree and then who would top it with the star. And I always wanted the star because of how tall it seemed to me. I mean, it was so way up there. And as a kid, I was so way down here. This happened every year until I was 14. Now, normally, we'd go and get the tree together as a family, but this year, my parents brought one home without us. And for the first time at Christmas, I felt a new emotion, disappointment. See, I was used to these massive trees that barely fit in our living room, but the tree that they brought home that year was barely taller than me. Now, it didn't matter that I'd just grown 7 inches during seventh grade, so nothing was as big in my perspective as it used to be. Nope, all that I cared about was that the wonder of Christmas that I felt because of this tree was nowhere to be found. I think the actual statement that I made to my parents was, "That's not a Christmas tree, it's barely a bush." Needless to say, it wasn't the best Christmas, and it wasn't the most wonderful time of the year, no matter what the song said. Now, while my example is something that doesn't seem like that big of a deal now that I'm looking back at it, there are many of us who would say it's not the most wonderful time of the year. If anything, the song should change the lyrics to the most stressful, the most difficult, or for some of us, the most painful time of the year. It's easy to be surrounded by the joy of Christmas on the outside. It's hard to escape it during the month of December. But on the inside, Christmas can trigger a number of emotions besides just joy. I mean, worry, anxiety, frustration, envy, resentment. And while a lot of the songs of the season talk about cold weather and snow, the emotion at the core of all those feelings can leave us frozen as well, because that's what fear does. Let me explain. It doesn't show up in song lyrics, but fear is present in many ways during this season. There's a lot of fear in our world. I mean, this has been a wild year, and you don't have to look far to find people afraid of what's to come. We carry a lot of fear in ourselves. It's the pressure we place on ourselves because of finals or seeing family members and meeting expectations. It can also be the fear of being uncomfortable without the rhythms of school and the escape of our friends. And speaking of friends, there's a fear that many of us carry from others around us. We worry about what others think of us and if we'll be accepted. And you may have all the friends in the world, but all of us still want to truly be accepted and loved for who we are. But did you know that Christmas is all about you being accepted and loved? More than all the Christmas music and movies, Christmas is about the God of the universe wanting a relationship with you. And because God wants that so much, God sent Jesus to earth to make that possible. The Christmas story is about Jesus showing up into a situation that had to be filled with a lot of fear. But for his mother Mary and for us, there's something about this kid that changes the way we can respond to fear. Now, Luke was the author of one of the four books of the Bible that tells us about Jesus's life, death, and resurrection. Luke was a doctor who lived during the time of Jesus. And although he wasn't one of Jesus's 12 disciples, it seems he got a lot of his information from people who were really close to Jesus, like Jesus's good friend Peter. Luke also recorded a lot of what we know about the very first Christmas. And chances are, Luke got his information from someone who was there, Jesus's mother, Mary. And that's where Luke's account of the Christmas story starts, with what happened to Mary. Now, at this point in the story, Mary was very close in age to you. She was engaged to a guy named Joseph, and everything in her life was going according to plan. Her family was probably excited about her engagement, and her older cousin Elizabeth was miraculously expecting a child after years of not being able to get pregnant. It was an incredibly wonderful time of the year. And then, the most unexpected thing happened. Luke shares that an angel of the Lord, Gabriel, appeared to Mary and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Now, can you just imagine this moment? I mean, if you were Mary, how would you respond in a moment like this? An angel of the Lord suddenly appeared out of nowhere, which sounds like the biggest jump scare of your entire life. And side note, most people ended up face down in fear when angels appeared. That's why angels' first words were often, "Do not be afraid." See, angels were terrifyingly powerful. But back to how you would respond in this situation. A powerful and terrifying angel appears, and then he declares that you're favored and that God is with you. Talk about a mix of emotions. I mean, that's exactly what Mary had. Luke shared that she was confused and disturbed at the angel appearing. And then she was probably simultaneously overwhelmed by hearing that she was favored by God. And this makes sense because of who Mary was. She was a teenage girl, most likely living at her parents' house, waiting to be married. Her life had been pretty normal, a basic plot line, but an angel of the Lord appeared to her to tell her that she was favored and that the Lord was with her. Yes, that was confusing and also likely terrifying because angels were scary. And so, sensing her emotions and her fear, Gabriel spoke words that would change her life forever and can change yours too. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God." In one sentence, Gabriel not only encouraged Mary, but he gave her the reason why she didn't have to be frozen in fear, because she had found favor with God. This favor would help her confidence as she was about to encounter what would be the scariest and most fear-filled situation of her life in the coming months. Gabriel continued by sharing with Mary that God wanted her to play a vital role in the story that God had been working on for a long time. This angel, Gabriel, said this next, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." So next, Mary asks a clarifying question. I mean, understandably, the angel's news still didn't compute to her since it's biologically impossible for her to be pregnant. Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." There might have been countless thoughts going through Mary's mind, like, "What will people think? What will they say about Joseph and me? And oh no, what is Joseph going to say?" Fearful questions like this likely rattled through her brain. In Mary's culture, if you ended up pregnant before you were married, it typically created a lot of drama for you and your fiance. I mean, this could go real bad. And so Gabriel explained to Mary that by the power of God's Spirit, she would conceive a child, even though she was a virgin. Yes, this was impossible, but as Gabriel declared, "For nothing will be impossible with God." Mary had lots of reasons to be afraid. All of her plans and dreams had just been thrown for a loop. I mean, out of seemingly nowhere, this ordinary girl was going to become the mother of God in human form. Mary probably had questions. She was confused and she didn't fully understand. And while she may have felt fear in some of those moments, something else happened in Mary. In spite of her fear, she chose to have faith. And that's what Luke tells us that she did next. Because Mary said to Gabriel, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." It seems like something happened in Mary's heart during her conversation with Gabriel. Instead of freezing in fear about what she was about to walk through, she was able to move forward in faith. Mary found favor from the Lord, and she would get to play an incredible role in the story that God was writing. She had been chosen by God for an incredible purpose, to be the mother of God's son. And perhaps the best part about this story for you and for me is that because Jesus showed up, that means that God is with us. And since God is with us, we can have a confident faith even if we're afraid. God loves us so much and wants to be close to us. And the way God made it possible for us to have that relationship with Him, both now and forever, was by sending Jesus to earth as a baby, as a kid. So, because of this kid, we are invited into an incredible story that God is writing, just like Mary's. We have an opportunity to respond to our fears in the same way that Mary did, with confidence and faith, knowing that we are unconditionally accepted and deeply loved by God. We have found favor with God, and that's why God sent Jesus. Fearful emotions will still certainly come, but they don't have to freeze you in place anymore. Everything changes for you when you realize that God sent the kid here for you. Let me say it this way. The kid changes how you see your fear. Sometimes the most difficult thing to do when fear arises is to simply remember what is true. Our brains go into survival mode, and we can easily forget the truth that we can anchor to. And this was happening to Mary, but the angel reminded her that nothing is impossible with God. Certain moments may seem impossible during the Christmas season. From finals to family, there are many reasons why fear may show up in your life. And so, in order to fight against that fear, this week might mean that you need to practice some remembering. So here's an easy way that you can do that. Since we're all forgetful, find some sticky notes and write down what is true for you today because Jesus, the kid born in Bethlehem and raised in Nazareth, showed up. At the top of the sticky note, write in all caps, remember. And then under it, write out statements like these. I can trust what God is doing. I am deeply loved by God. Jesus showed up for me. And place notes like these on your mirror in your bathroom. Now, every single morning when you wake up and you get ready for the day, you'll have a reminder of what's true and how you can respond in those situations that don't make this feel like the most wonderful time of the year. Don't have a sticky note? That's okay. Find a dry erase marker and just write them out on your mirror. Just make sure you find some visible way to have that truth in front of you, because when you do, you'll begin to respond to fear differently. So remember, the kid changes how you see your fear. Christmas is meant to be a time of joy, but perhaps the best way to make sure that that's true for you is simply by remembering what Jesus did for you. He chose to show up and work through the life of an ordinary teenage girl from a small town. Not only did it change her life, but God made it possible for yours to change too. You may not be able to change your circumstances, but you can always change how you respond to them. So this week, may you find the faith to move forward when your fear tries to keep you frozen, just like Mary, because you are deeply loved by God. When you head to small group, think about your answer to this question. How can Jesus help you see your fears differently?